This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're talking to a pair of seniors who finished their careers on a high note for the track and field team. Plus, head coach Curtis Johnson gives us a preview of NCAAs, which are this Thursday through Saturday in La Crosse, Wisconsin. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. The track and field teams competed at the MIT final qualifier on Thursday, and a pair of senior captains turned in terrific performances in their final meets as Bobcats. On the men's side, senior captain Evan Migdol broke the school record in the 400-meter hurdles with his time of 53.43 seconds. It was a record that had stood for 22 years. And Evan Migdol is our male Bobcat of the week. 400-meter hurdles. Talking to Curtis Johnson, your head coach, mentioned that you didn't take that hurdles up until sophomore year, and 2 years later, you're the school record holder in the event. So tell me a little bit about that progression through the years after taking up an event you'd never participated in before, right?
Yeah, I mean, thank you for having me, first off. I'd say I've done pretty much a very wide range of events throughout my life. I was a distance runner in high school, got to college, became more of a mid-distance runner, started doing the 400, and I had a little bit of endurance as well, just from my background. And then also, I think Coach Johnson saw I had long legs and was tall, and so he decided to throw me in the hurdles, and it worked out pretty well. I've seen pretty good progression since then, obviously. Started off my career, I remember my first race around 58.
Yeah.
Now I'm down to 53.4. That was like a rainy meet, so the conditions weren't great, but I think that showed me that I wanted to continue to pursue the 400 hurdles, and that's what I've done, and it's worked out well.
When you look back at your sophomore year, that first meet, was it even in your mind one day I want to set the Bates record, or was it not in your mind? Perhaps?
Not at all. Not at the time. I think the more I progressed and the more I saw steady growth, at some point I was like, you know, this is possible. My sophomore year, I had gotten my time down to 54.1 by the very end, which was a huge accomplishment for me. And I was actually one off top 50 in the country. So that was a big goal of mine as well for this year. And I from there, I also wanted the school record. So I knew it was close.
And you got it on Thursday, the school record, your final meet. Take us through the race.
It was weird because the weather was not supposed to shape up well for us. Obviously, it was my last race as a senior captain. I actually don't think I had many nerves going in because there wasn't too much to be nervous about. I honestly didn't have many expectations just because of the weather. When we got there, it was raining and also pretty cold. Everybody was inside doing their warm-ups. People were pretty much just going outside for their race. And then later in the day, people started to run better times. Ross clinched that national spot, which was really cool to see. That gave me some motivation. And also, the nerves started to set in then because I was like, okay, I can run a good time even in this weather. It got a little nicer towards the end. The lights were out. The adrenaline was there. And I guess I just tried to get out hard. There was a kid on my outside that was also really fast. He ran like 53.0. And I knew he was a good 400 hurdler, so I tried to get out on him or with him and then just hold on at the end, and shaped out well.
How important in a 400 hurdle event is your competition in terms of your speed? Because I know for distance events, it's super important. Maybe true sprints, maybe not as much. Mid-distance.
Yeah, I think it depends on the type of runner you are. Like, I think in any race, if someone gets out on you and it's someone that you expect to be with, then your form can kind of break down and it's challenging mentally because you're expecting to be with them. So you try to do everything in your power to stay with them. And that's why our coach always says, like, try to hold your form. So, like, for example, there's a Middlebury kid on my inside that caught me. He made up the stagger in the first, like, 100 meters or so. And, you know, one thing I've always tried to stick to is, like, I'll compete with the people next to me. But if someone catches me early on in a race, if I feel good and I know I'm running well, I'm not going to try to base my performance and how I'm doing off of who's around me. Like, the fact he passed me, I wasn't like, oh, this is, you know, time to panic and try to sprint to keep up with him. Just staying true to you know, the fact I know I can run well if I just run my own race and run that back half well and stay up with the pack.
Excellent. Then what was your reaction kind of when you crossed the finish line? How soon did you know you had the record and stuff?
I leaned really hard at the line and fell, actually.
Oh, okay.
And there was an official at the line. I was just like on the ground lying there, and he was like, "Are you all right?" And then like there were a few competitors actually that came up to me and gave me a hand. And then a ton of my teammates came over and they were like, "You got the record." And it was awesome. It was one of the best moments of my life.
Excellent. You mentioned obviously Ross qualified for nationals. You got to go to nationals during indoor season, the DMR. What was that experience like?
It was really cool. It's a very cool experience. I think, you know, we train all year for that. Like that's really the end goal. And so to be able to make it and go there was just super cool for me. It was part of a relay, so I was really just trying to embrace every moment. It didn't necessarily shape out how we wanted when we were there, but to be able to go with a group of my teammates that I also know are training really hard and putting in the same work as me, it's just, it means a lot. And it's super cool to have that like tight-knit community of people that you know are also working super hard.
So as a senior, I want you to reflect a little bit perhaps on your Bates track and field career. What's been like the biggest highlight of being part of this team for 4 years?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is really just like the sense of community that's been built. You know, I started track when I was like 9 or 10 years old. Mm-hmm. For a club team, and it is very individual and very in a lot of ways, but also there's a huge team component to being part of any club or team or whatever it is. Even if it's not in the scoring of the meet that you directly see that team component, it's like in the social aspect. And the social aspect, the workouts you're doing, like, you know, being able to see my teammates next to me working really hard and like being on the ground after workouts motivates me. And so like, you know, I try to think like I can have, you know, the intrinsic motivation to work really hard, but also the extrinsic motivation comes from my teammates and the people around me supporting me. So I think biggest highlight for me has just been being able to work out with people like Ryan Harding, Evan Berthume, Briggs this year, some of the other freshmen. That's probably what I'm going to miss most is those grueling workouts where you cross the line and everybody's tired and on the ground.
Great. And then, I mean, you're a biology major. Tell us a little bit about maybe your thesis, what your plans are after Bates, stuff like that.
I did my thesis with Martin Cruz. Mm-hmm. We studied a protein in the brain called ERBIT and the effects, the knockout of it. So the absence of that protein has on expression levels of other genes in the brain. In terms of what I want to do after school, I'm working for a small healthcare investment bank in Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay.
So a little switch up, but yeah. I definitely want to try to be in biotech or healthcare adjacent field at some point. So yeah, that's what I'm doing after. I'm pretty excited.
It's interesting because most Bates students I talk to, they're staying in New England. So how did South Carolina get on your radar?
Yeah. I mean, it's a small firm. I think really I just like looked everywhere. I Handshake has a lot of different opportunities. And so I think for me, like I wasn't really thinking about a specific area. I think I wanted to be in New England ideally, but I wasn't like only New England, just kind of wherever I ended up. And I base it off more if I thought I'd like the firm than the environment.
Mm.
Surrounding that, it'll be a good starting place for me.
Well, I've heard good hopefully things about Charleston, South Carolina, so it's supposed to be a nice town.
I was there this summer for an internship. It was super nice.
Nice.
Very warm weather and good vibes.
Excellent. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share on, you know, you want to mention about your time as a Bobcat or this past Thursday's meet that we haven't gotten to talk about yet?
Biggest thing I'd like to shout out, like, you know, all the people within my workout group that I've trained with all year.
Yeah.
They've been a huge part of my growth and success story. And I think to some extent, like, any one of our successes is each other's successes. And that's really meaningful to me because although I was one of the people within our workout group that was able to have so much success this year, I really hope in future years they are able to see a lot of success because, I don't know, it'll just mean a lot to me, like being able to train with them over the years and seeing them grow in that way would mean a lot. So I'm definitely going to miss that community aspect and being able to work alongside my teammates.
All right. Evan Migdol, senior captain for men's track and field, our male Bobcat of the week. New school record in the 400-meter hurdles, 53.43 seconds. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Aaron.
For the women's team, senior captain Mariah Sharn capped off her outstanding career with a new personal record in the 100-meter hurdles. She raced to the finish in the finals in 14.44 seconds, and Sharn will graduate this year as the second fastest 100-meter hurdler in the college's history. And Mariah Sharn is our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Mariah, for you, your final meet as a Bobcat, a personal record in the 100-meter hurdles, 14.44 seconds. Take us through the day over there at MIT.
Yeah.
I understand it rained at one point, but when you ran, there wasn't any rain to deal with, or how'd that go?
Yeah, so it was anticipated that there was going to be a ton of rain, and there had been a ton of rain the last couple meets. So I was a little frustrated, you know, it being my last meet and wanting the best conditions to perform well. But they delayed the whole meet by like an hour, like 45 minutes to an hour, because the rain was supposed to clear up by the end. And thank God they did, because it was wet and it was like damp when I ran, but it was really not. It wasn't anything, you know, too treacherous. But at the same time, even if there was rain, I just told myself, like, you know, it's your last race. Just go out there. You're going to regret it if you let any external factors get in your way. So just get out there, compete. And that's what I told myself, and that's what I did. And I'm glad that I kept the mindset that I did going into it.
Yeah, with the hurdles, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a prelims and a finals, right?
Correct, yeah.
And so your PR came in the final, right?
Yeah, my PR came in the final. I ran my prelim with, like, I think I matched my second best time of the season. And then, it was a great prelim even in the rain. It was the weather was worse at that point. But yeah, it was really cool. And it was an emotional day, you know, it being my last meet and stuff. And honestly, like, the rain and the weather was not even a factor. I was just more focused on the fact that it was probably one of my last meet. And yeah, it was great. I told myself, don't cry, because then if you cry, you're going to waste all your energy, and you would hate it so much if you didn't do well because you were crying. So,
and a smaller group goes to this meet, obviously. So what was that like to have, you know, there were some fellow seniors there, right?
Yeah, it was definitely a different vibe with it being a smaller crew. But I feel like that way I was able to, you know, talk to everyone individually a lot more than I typically can when there's like a bigger group. So it's kind of nice to know, you know, be there for everyone and have everyone be there for me, knowing their goals for the day. And, you know, just seeing how they want to end the season. But it was a really great group of my teammates, and I'm glad that I got to, you know, spend my last meet with them.
Yeah, excellent. And then you were the winner of the Bobcat Award at the Catsbys.
Yes,
basically like one of the, you know, best teammate, one of the women's sports athletes. And you have a challenge. You've had a challenge throughout your career, because the women's track and field team is a large team.
Yes,
like, there's so many people. And how did you try to, you know, be a good teammate through the years with such a large group?
Yeah. Well, when I was a freshman, my senior captains were really influential to me, and I looked up to them a lot. And I guess when they left, I just sort of tried to embody the things that they had given me and my teammates as captains. And I'll find myself, like, in certain situations being like, okay, like, what would Alice do in this situation? Or, like, what would Abby do in this situation? My past captains from freshman year. But I think just my teammates have been there for me through everything, through thick and thin. Just giving out what they give to me, it really doesn't feel like a challenge. Like, it's just sort of second nature to be there for my teammates and let them know that we're teammates, but it's more than that. And I think that it comes naturally. Like, I know that it's a big team, but I think that we all put in the work. And obviously I wouldn't have won that award if it weren't for them. So I love them so much.
And, you know, what was coach's message kind of to the group after it was all said and done, right?
There was a lot of emotion between, you know, me and my coaches, but I think he just really emphasized that we have such a good crew, and to just, like, keep the momentum of the seniors who had a great last meet and just continuing on that momentum and that energy into the next season.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, for you now, I mean, graduation's coming up.
Yeah.
How's everything going? What's your thesis? How's that going?
So I finished my thesis, thank God.
There you go.
It's titled The Contradictions Between Liberal Arts Values and Grind Culture at Bates College, a Rest as Resistance Framework, which is based on the manifesto Rest as Resistance by Trisha Hersey. It just follows the, you know, the hustle culture that is seen at Bates College, and how Bates College, like, cultivates, like, the critical thinker and the well-rounded individual. But in order to do that, you need time and space to rest. But students find themselves not having the time or the space for that reflection to be a well-rounded individual. So that's sort of what my thesis describes and looks at. I'm binding on Thursday with my best friend and one of our seniors on the team. So it's going to be really great.
Hustle culture. Interesting. So did you find yourself trapped in that sometimes?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I read the book my sophomore year of college, I wouldn't shut up about it. Like, I was always talking about it. And when I was deciding what to write my thesis on, my friends were always like, well, what's that book that you always talk about? There's this book that you always talk about. And I was like, you know what? Like, you're right. You're right about that. It's hard to pick something to talk about, especially as an American studies major. Like, it's so vague and so broad. There's just so many things that you could cover. So it's hard to narrow down a topic. But yeah, I think it just comes down to what you're interested in and what you find yourself talking about every single day. But yeah, I mean, definitely as someone on the track team and in a cappella and like all these other side quests that I'm doing, I've definitely experienced it. But I think I've also, like, in experiencing it, I've also have done my own job of resisting it, which is sort of the whole point of my thesis. It's just resist the grind culture that you're forced into and conditioned into, and make sure that you have that time and space to reflect for yourself.
And now, looking forward, what are your post-college plans so far?
So I have a paralegal job in Boston and Seaport. I'll be living at home for a little bit. But yeah, there's a couple NESCAC coworkers that are going to be there, which is really cool. But yeah, I'm super excited. It's weird to move on from, you know, the student athlete life of Bates. It's probably going to be much less busy than it has been the last 4 years. So that's going to be weird to get used to. But yeah, I'm super excited. And I think that this year is ending on a really great note.
Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share kind of on your time on the women's track and field team, your time as a Bobcat you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about?
It's going to be hard to identify as a non-student athlete, like, when I graduate. I've been doing track since I was 11 years old. Mm. And I've been doing hurdles, too, specifically since I was 11 years old. And I think that, you know, I don't think I would learn the lessons that I've learned, like, in life if it weren't for track. And there's just so many things I've learned that I'm totally going to translate and that I have translated from the track, like, into real life. So I just think, like, yeah, taking in every moment and cherishing the moments and relationships that you've made with the people on your team and in your sport is super, super important and very not something that everyone gets to experience. So, and I think I've done a good job of that. I have no regrets.
Well, I was interested because sometimes in track and field, we do see alums come back for meets.
Oh, yes.
To compete.
Yes.
Any thoughts in your mind about doing that, perhaps?
Well, like I said, it's going to be really hard for me to depart from the sport.
Yeah.
So, and if you were there to see the waterworks on my last meet, you'd probably be like, everyone was like, you don't have to stop. Like, no one said you had to stop. But I don't know. I think it's like, we'll see, you know? Truman Williams, like, we saw him at a couple meets before, so he's kind of my inspiration right now. So we'll see. You never know.
Because there are, like, what, track clubs you could join and stuff?
Yeah, there's track clubs.
Yeah.
There's a ton in Boston.
Right.
And when I actually had my interview for my job, the interviewer was like, you know, he was like, we like when you guys are able to, you know, do your own thing. And if you want to join a track club, you can join a track club, so on and so forth. So I know that regardless of what decision I make, that it will be doable with my job in Boston.
So. Great. So maybe we'll see you down the road.
Yes.
One of those meets.
Well, I'll definitely be coming back to watch regardless.
Exactly.
So
yeah. All right, Mariah Sharon, the winner of the Bobcat Award, the Catsbys among all the women student athletes, and also second all time at Bates in the 100 meter hurdles, PR of 14.44 seconds there, the MIT final qualifier, our female Bobcat of the week. Thanks so much. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
While Thursday's meet was the final one for Migdol and Sharon at Bates, men's senior captain Ross Tejeda is headed to the NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championships as he'll compete this Thursday in the 1500 meters at Nationals. First year Alessandra Lindos will join him at NCAA's, competing Saturday in the triple jump. Head coach Curtis Johnson looks back at the MIT final qualifier and previews the NCAA championships for Tejeda and Lindos. Well, Coach, the MIT final qualifier there on Thursday, and Ross Tejeda used it how it's meant to be used, right? He got a PR and got him into Nationals. Wasn't sure right until the press release came out.
Yeah, it was definitely do or die. You know, you have to get it done on that day. And Ross, a lot of people performed incredibly well. It was a rainy day, but then the rain kind of stopped, and we were like, that's all we need. So Ross got it done. It was a really competitive 1,500-meter race. He and a lot of others ran well under the bubble mark. So we were really pumped, thinking, like, as long as things land how they should everywhere else, that he's in. So it's nice to have a veteran back at NCAAs.
Yeah, you mentioned the weather. I actually saw some photos from the fire meet the previous week, and that was not good weather, right?
Yeah, and so weather's always that uncontrollable.
Yeah.
The season overall has had great weather, but the last three meets, of course, when we wanted to be its best, it did have some more rain. But we try to talk about those things. We know we have to be ready regardless. They were good spirits in these last few. Fire was everything. It shouldn't have been called fire. It should have been called rain. right. But MIT, yeah, the rain did stop during most of the competition, and we were able to capitalize. Makes us excited knowing that the weather in Wisconsin looks reasonable and solid. And once we have weather on our side, we can do even more. So it's going to be a good week.
Really cool to have not only a senior captain going, but on the other end of the spectrum, a first year in Alessandra Lindos. I mean, to be a first year going to nationals, that's a pretty rare achievement. I mean, tell me a little bit about what's made her so special in her debut season.
Yeah, so it's been so fun. As you know, or if you've seen, Allie is from Portland. So having somebody who is from the area as a freshman make it to nationals in their first year is so special. And she's part of a great contingent of jumpers. So I'd say what really has allowed her to shine is knowing that, like, the standard for, you know, our training groups and that jumps group in particular, they're at a really high level. So it could have been all three of them there, or any one of the three, or four of the triple jumpers. So Bobcat's better together. I know she wishes she had some of her training partners there, but I was like, hey, you know how to do this. So it's really cool. And yeah, freshman. I mean, it's rare to go any year to nationals, you know, so to do it your freshman year, knowing there's so much more improvement to go, it's really exciting.
You know, Ross gets to compete right away on Thursday, hopefully also gets to compete on Saturday, but no matter what, Lindos has to wait around till Saturday. So what do you kind of tell her about, you know, how to stay focused? Because you leave tomorrow, we're talking on Monday, you leave Tuesday, she doesn't compete for, you know, almost a week.
Yeah, you know what, we actually just spoke about that earlier and in the weight room about not overthinking it, taking it one day. We talked about, like, the first day is really just about travel, getting there safely. Wednesday, we get settled in, get our credentials, and, you know, get ready. Thursday is a recovery day for her, and she gets to support Raw, so that worked out perfectly. Friday is what we'd call pre-meet, and then right at it. We always compete on Saturdays, so I try to remind her that Saturday track meet, we know that better than anything. But I'm really thankful we can get there with enough time to get settled in. Wisconsin's not down the street, so we're hoping that we told him, it was like, this is supposed to be the funnest meet of the year. So, and Ross had a lot of great feedback for her about that too. Like, have fun, like, this trip, you know. So I'm happy that we do have a rookie and a vet there to share the experience, and makes it more special.
For the 1500 meters, I know there's the prelims on Thursday. What does it take to get to the final?
Yeah, top 12. So I think they're going to, and they'll show us pretty soon how they're going to break it down, whether it's top four in the heat usually, which will qualify, or then two sets of top four then the next few fastest. So I know Ross is experienced and what it feels like now, and even the last two meets were really good experiences leading up. So and then in Allie's case, you know, she'll get her first three jumps, and if that's in the top nine, then she makes the final. This will be the first time she's in the first flight, and we'll have to kind of see how things shake out. But both flights look pretty equal. I'd say there's a couple outliers, but the flights, everybody's really close. So that's puts her in a good spot.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, you mentioned it's interesting how, yeah, because top four in your heat, regardless of your time, right? So you might be slower than, like, a bunch of people in the other heat, but as long as you're top four, you're in the final, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, you got to know if you're in the first heat how to set the tone. And if you're confident in your kick, you know, you maybe don't feel like the race has to be scorching. And then the heats after that, you guys, you know, they get a second to kind of see what happened and kind of go from there. So it's really cool to have to be at NCAAs and have that survive and advance mentality that a lot of other sports have. So we're excited, because getting to nationals is huge in itself, but making the final, that, you know, you really have to get it done on the day and against people that you may have never raced before, rather than just New England teams and competition. So it'll be fun. And they're, like I said, they're, you know, on either end of their time at Bates, so I think it's gonna be good.
Yeah, certainly. And then, you know, speaking of the MIT final qualifier, you know, we had a couple other big performances you mentioned. I mean, like, for example, Evan Migdol broke that school record in his final meet. That's got to be a really cool moment, right?
Absolutely. And I know, like, you know, we try to say, regardless of the weather, put it out there. But, you know, it wasn't record-breaking weather. A wet track is not usually conducive to your best performances. So Evan Migdol, I mean, we knew going into the season that he could have a shot at that school record. And, you know, he only learned the event his sophomore year. So this has been a long full circle moment. So incredibly proud of him. and trust in the process. Again, hurdles is not something you typically want to pick up randomly sophomore year of college, but he trusted that, and he took down a longstanding record, and he's just been, he was a part of the, you know, the distance medley in the winter, so it's just been a great year. So he's helped the team, he's got the individual accolades, and then of course, yeah, there was a bunch of other great performances that this weekend.
Yeah, like Mariah Sean to finish her career with a PR, right?
Yeah, that was a huge PR. Again, I mentioned the track being like a wetter day. The rain held off, but the track itself, colder day, didn't matter. She raced out of her mind. She was only a few spots off of NCAA, so she ran a 14:44 and a 14:38 got in. But we were just so proud knowing, like, that's just you know, a reminder of why we go, even on a rainy day when you don't think you can get it done, you can still have those huge improvements. So those captains were phenomenal. Great day for the hurdles altogether.
Yeah. And just in NCAAs, anything else you want to mention people should know about coming up? Anything else you want to talk about we haven't gotten to discuss yet?
I would just say tune in. You know, Ross is on Thursday, and if he makes finals, he competes on Saturday. And Alessandra competes on Saturday, Central Time, since we'll be in Wisconsin. You know, UW Lacrosse is not just the host there, a powerhouse in track. So I think we're just going to feed off of that crowd and the energy. Weather looks good, and we're just hoping to make our Bobcats proud. And, yeah, it's been a great year for Bates Athletics all the way through. So having the chance to send some more people to NCAAs is really cool.
Curtis Johnson, thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
On next week's Bates Bobcast, we'll recap NCAAs for track and field and look forward to the final events of the spring for Bates Athletics. As the rowing teams head to Georgia and California to compete in the NCAA and IRA championships, respectively. That's next time on the Bates Bobcast. We'll be right back.